And I got to the park and they were still following me. When I left the park, they were still following me. When I got back to the house, they were still following me. Well, she said, do you know who they were? And I said, yeah. It was Shirley Goodness and her sister Mercy, Marcy. They're following me all the days of my life. So Shirley Goodness and Mercy's going to follow us all the days of our life. The reason I said that, next week the Lord's placed a message on my heart. I want you to come out and hear it. It's about the goodness of the Lord. Somebody said something about the goodness, so I got it. And we're going to talk about God's goodness. Amen? But today we're going to talk about being a winner in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? How many need to be encouraged in the house today? Come on, let's be real. You're going through something in your life. You're going through a trial. You're going through a tribulation. Things aren't looking good. Amen? And he wants you to understand, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. So in John chapter 12 this morning, verse number 23, Jesus said, the hour has come and the Son of Man shall be glorified. Then in verse 28, he says, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Here's Jesus getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary. He's saying he's glorified it. How has he already glorified it? Jesus was walking in signs and wonders and miracles. And all of a sudden, his name was going to be glorified in his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. Because if he didn't send the Holy Spirit, none of us would be here today glorifying the name of God. And one day, his return. Hallelujah. Amen. So past, present, and future, it's all covered right there. Then the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. But Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. This morning I want to focus your attention this morning to verse number 30 that said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Amen? Amen. The title of this morning's message is The Voice of Truth. Amen. Now the text today, we're going to show the disclosure, the destruction, and the decision. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration in the house together today? Where's your word? You need a Bible? Slip up your hand. Give this young man a Bible, please. You got a helper? Come on, honey, help me out. I kind of got to use mine. Does anybody else need a Bible? Amen? Why do I want you to have a Bible in your hand? I want you to know it's his word, not my word. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the voice of truth. It's the voice of God. It's the word of God. This is the spoken word of God that's being spoken into your ears today. Amen? If faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it's important for me to get my ears aligned, right? Is everyone listening? Amen. So let's make a declaration in the house today. Dust, did you get a Bible? Did you raise your hand? Hallelujah. You know, this is the only offensive weapon we have against the enemy. That's why I want it in your hand. We ought to get used to having this in our hand. Amen? So can we make a declaration in the house today? Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I am listening. My ears are open, and my heart is attentive. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And Lord, I'm grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it here to do. So Father, I pray, Father God, first off, I pray that Carl gets out of your way, Father God. I pray that you speak through me today, speak to the people, Father God. Speak with understanding, Father God, with clarity, Father God. May they be built up, may they be encouraged, may they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen and amen. Amen. You know, when Jesus said, in verse number 31, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. And what I want to first talk about is the disclosure. If you're going to disclose something, what you're doing is you're exposing something. Jesus is exposing something to his disciples and those that are following so that they can get some revelation and understanding. God wants you and I to understand. Amen? He doesn't want anyone to be confused. He wants us to understand. You know, there's an old cliche in this world that says, if at first you don't succeed, try again. But what happens so much in the body of Christ is when men and women fail, they quit. Let me say something to you. Winners never quit and quitters never win. Amen? That there's no quit in you and I. There's no quit in you and I. That we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So as we're moving towards this, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, no matter what lie the adversary may say to you, the voice of truth has a different story. The liar will make things in this world look so appetizing, so tasteful, and look so pretty, but at the end, it's destruction. But God has something for you and I, and he wants his disciples to understand, first off, that, hey, that we have a formidable enemy. Amen? Amen. That we do have an enemy. And the enemy is not one another. Look at the one beside you and say, my battle is not with you. Look at the one on the other side. My battle's not with you either. Amen. You and I ought to get the mentality. There used to be a commercial where the little boy says, nobody bothers me. And the other one said, nobody bothers me either. As children of God, we shouldn't let the adversary have so much space and so much room to bug us. You know how we get bugged? By one another. Amen. I want you to understand something with me this morning, that the Bible says the devil, like a roaring lion — he's not a roaring lion, but he's like a roaring lion. For the child of God, he comes in, he doesn't have teeth, but he'll try to gnaw you to death. Amen? I'm getting ready to go somewhere, I think. Hallelujah. Amen. So turn with me to John chapter 16. Here's Jesus sharing with his disciples that he's going to be glorified. He talks about even a grain of wheat falling on the ground and dying. It can't bear fruit unless it dies. But chapter 16, verse number 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now just recognize that the disciples had not received the Holy Spirit yet. But God reveals some deep things to you and I through his word and through the Spirit of God. You know, I want you to understand, when Jesus is speaking and he's recognizing the adversary as the prince of this world. Amen? In other words, we have a formidable foe. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. God, Jesus wanted his children and those that are following him to understand that this is a battle. This is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. The problem is, men and women try to make it a physical battle instead of a spiritual battle. But the Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not with people. Our battle is not with people. And we need to recognize, no matter how far someone has gone or no matter where they are, it's the darkness of this world that has blinded their eyes. Amen? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. 2 Corinthians 4. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 3, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now he calls them what? And whom the God, little g, of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world. Well, why would he be recognized as the God of this world? Because there's so many people that are serving him and have made him their God. Amen? So he's saying, he is saying, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And God wants you to understand that when we're ministering, we're trying to reach out to family members and loved ones that are caught up in the darkness and the wickedness of this world, God wants you to recognize and realize that you were in the same state at one time, and not to forget where he found you. Amen? He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock this day. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but God brought me out of some darkness. So what I have to remember is, when I'm reaching out and I'm ministering to this world, I can't look at where they're at. I got to know who's got them. I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood. I'm not looking at the individual. My battle is not with people. My battle is with darkness, with God of this world, with the little g of this world, with the prince of this world, with the prince of darkness, okay? Our battle is with a formidable foe. Amen?
Amen.
Sort of, in a kind of a way, I don't want to get too deep here, but in a sort of way, there used to be a TV show that came on. It was called The Twilight Zone. And sometimes in the spiritual realm, it's like The Twilight Zone. In other words, you're dealing with forces of darkness. We're dealing with wickedness. We're dealing with these things, with these powers of this world. He says the power of the air that now works in the children of disobedience. You know, in Ephesians 2, we'll just go there for a moment. Well, Pastor, why are you talking about that? Because Jesus talked about the judgment of this world. And if we're going to reach this world with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we can't judge these people. We can't come in with a critical heart. Amen? We got to come in with a heart of love. You know, And sometimes you got to see past the mess that they're in and see and bring the message. Amen. Amen. In Ephesians 2, he reminds the church, and you have he quickened, or he made alive, or zupoio, who were dead in trespasses and sins, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of anger, even as others. Amen? In other words, don't forget where God found you. Amen? In other words, we have a formal foe. We can look out there and we can see what's wrong with everyone. Amen? But God said there's something right in everyone too. We all have good side. We all have a bad side. Amen? Amen? You know, I don't know about you, but I haven't arrived yet. I'm a work in progress. I used to say I was a mess in progress, but somebody said, you're not a mess. Well, I don't know, man. I was pretty mess when the Lord found me. Amen? Haven't got there yet. Amen? I still mess up. I still let the flesh arise. Flesh arise this morning. I just said, I repent. Leaders, forgive me this morning. I have to say that. I guess I have to confess in front of everybody. Leaders, because I took out on people, I get messages all in the morning, and I got a couple right before I came out, and it got a hold of me and got in my thing. I should throw this thing away and not have it here in the morning. A daggone thing. You know, it's kind of amazing because the adversary knew exactly what it would take to get my attention and draw me away. And don't you think he uses this? Don't you think he uses this? I've shared it before, and I'll share it again. This is an iPhone, and you turn it on, there's a bit apple in it, okay, representing sin, all right, representing even in the beginning. It's got knowledge in there. It's a smartphone, but you got to have the intelligence to use it. And sometimes I'm not the smartest guy beside that phone. Amen. Because if I was, as a man of God, and I'm walking in anointing, I ought to know already that the adversary is going to come and try to steal what God wants to do today, because God cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. And he has plans in your life, and those plans are for good and not for evil. He gives you and I hope and an expected end. And what the adversary would try to do, he would try to steal the anointing, steal the word of God, so it wouldn't come to you today. And he'll use any device possible. Amen? That was free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've said it before in here, and I want you to get a hold of this too. Don't kill the messenger. Because when people come to you and they say things and they do things, it's not them. In here, the prince of this world is going to be judged. All right, this judgment is coming. And old Flip Wilson, I go back a ways, would say, here comes the judge, here comes the judge. Amen? But then a little later, he'll say, well, the devil made me do it. And I'm not making excuses for what we do, because when we know to do good and we don't, to us it's sin. All right, I'm not justifying our actions, but what I'm saying is when we're dealing with the children of disobedience and people, children that are caught in this world, we need to recognize it's not them, it's what has a hold of them. Amen? Amen. And you know what lifted me? Love. You know what brought me to God? The goodness of God. The goodness of the Lord. I didn't come to Jesus because I was afraid of going to hell. I came to Jesus because his love drew me to him. I came to him because he loves me and he has a plan in my life and he is not going to change his mind. He is not going to change his mind. From the time that I was conceived in my mother's womb, the Lord knew me by my name. He said the very hairs on our head are numbered. He knows they're going in, they're coming out. He ain't going to change his mind concerning you and I. He has agape love. We're in the season of mercy and of grace. I thank God for the grace of God. Amen. You know, I share with people in here, and it's probably old if you've been here a while, and you probably hear me say some of the things, same things over and over again and whatever. But there's somebody here that hadn't heard it. All right? You know, football season is starting, and I wish I would have used the DVR in the first couple of games because I wouldn't have watched either one of the preseason games. I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan. Amen. And for the football games, what I do is I do the DVR. I'll record the game. And if Philadelphia won, I'll watch it. If they didn't, I could care less. I've read the book. Come on. I've read the book. We're winners. Jesus says in our text right here, he says, the prince of this world will be cast out. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter what we're going, it's only temporary. The battle you're going through right now, it is only temporary. You will not lose the war. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on to the altar. Believe what God said. Believe that word that was prophesied and spoken over your life. Don't let go of it. Amen. The Bible says without vision the people perish. Keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. Man, I'm a winner. Are you a winner? Amen. Then give God a shout. You know what? I like it in 2 Thessalonians. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Verse number 6. The word of God says, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he knew. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, when the Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. He will destroy him. You know, there's not this great battle. There's not this great fight. All God has to do is speak the word and it becomes. In other words, all he has to do is speak the word and it becomes. And he tells you and I to speak the word, to be instant in season, out of season. Amen. You know, what he's telling us, you see, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Don't feed your situation, feed the answer. In other words, don't get so caught up in what's going on in your life. Get caught up in what God says. All the promises in him are yes and amen. Amen. That he will do everything he said he would do. We're walking by what? We're walking by faith, not by sight. Why? Because our eyes have a way of messing us up. We're looking at situations, we're looking at circumstances, we're looking at the battle, and we're not seeing the answer. Amen? And if I'm just caught up and doing that, another piece of the Bible, no words on it. So you know what? He just removes the empty spaces. I wish I had something really corny for there. Hallelujah. In other words, we find that we have the disclosure. He's exposed who our adversary is. Now we have the destruction. Verse number 8 again. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Let me say something to you. When light comes into a room, darkness disappears. More light, less darkness. And when you look at the brightness of his coming, I was reminded of when I look at the brightness of his coming, when Moses was on the Mount of God, Moses couldn't stand the glory of God. He couldn't look upon his brightness. But God said, I'll pass by and I'll put my hand by you and you can see my hind parts after I go by. Amen. In other words, when God's light comes, when the fullness of the glory comes, the adversary and the darkness will dissipate and will disappear. Amen. He's going to destroy them according to what? The word of God and by the brightness of his coming. Amen. So, if God has given you and I power over the rulers of darkness as a child of God, how can you destroy his works in your life? By the spirit of your mouth, by the power of the word, by the power of the words that come out of your mouth. You know, we talked about this morning, this morning about being teachable. And one of the statistics that says 85% of the people that are successful in this world are successful because of their attitude. 15% are successful for their ability. 85% is the attitude. In other words, when I have a winner's mentality, I know that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, that strengthens me. Amen. His strength, not mine, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I recognize how much I need him. I need him more and more every day. Amen. Amen. But to maintain an attitude, a winning attitude, you got to fill your mind and surround yourself with people that encourage you versus surrounding yourself with people that bring you down. He is the glory and he is the lifter of my hands. There's an old saying, it goes like this. We're an element of what we surround ourselves with. You surround yourselves with negative people, you're going to have a negative attitude. You surround yourself with positive people, you're going to have a positive attitude. Now, God sends you as a child of God into negative situations to bring a positive attitude, not a negative attitude. So if you're entering into a negative situation, don't let the devil attempt you to become negative so that you can be with them and get along with them, because you're not that person anymore. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Old things have become new. Amen? I got a winning attitude. We're winners, aren't we? Amen? Did you read the end of the book? We'll get there in a minute. Hallelujah. He is the glory and the lifter of our heads. He wants to encourage us. Amen? This is encouraging us. In other words, we're getting to see a foretaste of what's going to happen. So when we're facing a situation, it seems like the devil is winning. Amen? How many of you are in a situation where it feels like the adversary is winning? Let's be honest. Hello? He's a loser. Amen? Matter of fact, in Hebrews 2:14, the Word of God says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Amen? Amen. The last thing to be defeated is death. Amen? Amen? And that's coming too. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, so we have an understanding that this we're dealing with the, we're to talk about the destroying of the devil. The Word of God says in 1 John 3:8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Amen? Amen? So he may seem like he's having a heyday, but we know what happens. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? I believe what God is really saying to us, come church, we need to hold on. We need to hold on. He's disclosing to us that we're to understand that we're going to be in a battle. Jesus said, "In this world you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen? He wants you to understand that there's destruction coming to darkness, that he's going to step on the devil's head. Amen? Then it comes to the decision. He said, "If I be lifted up, that I will draw from the earth, I will draw all men unto me."
Amen.
If I be lifted up. Who are we lifting up? Who is it? What is he talking about? If I be lifted up, signifying his death. He was talking about the cross of Calvary. See, this is just an empty wood emblem. But there was a gruesome cross. You know, and I love that song, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. In other words, darkness was lifted off of me. Darkness was lifted off of you from the cross of Calvary. Amen? The message of the cross. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." Look with me in John chapter 3. Verse number 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You know, the children of Israel had sinned, and God allowed some fiery serpents to come and to bite them, and they were dying, because the wages of sin is death. And God gave Moses instructions to build a brazen serpent. And he said when they got bit by sin, if they would look to this brazen serpent, they would live. And that is a representation of the cross of Calvary, because in Romans 6:23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said in John 6:44, he said, "No one comes to the Father except the Father draw them." In John 6:44, he says this. Let me read it word for word. He says, "No man can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." Amen? Amen. In other words, God is constantly drawing men and women to him. Let's not be a stumbling block between them and the Lord. Let's not be so religious that they feel like they can't come into the house of God. You know, let's not be so spiritual that we're no earthly good. Amen. Jesus said he's not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. God has a plan in every heart and life in this world. And we're trying to face and deal with the sin. We're trying to change people. "Hey, Josh, man, I like that Corvette. Can I look at it?" Wow. Really? Did you know that was one like the pastor always wanted, but his wife would never let him have? I wonder if she let me have one this size. Wow, that's cool. And it's affordable. The shirts is cheap. Now, my wife has common sense because I bought a Corvette one time and I never got it on the road. It was really souped up. It had the side pipes and it was, I think it was a 73. And I'd take that thing out at night. And I lived in an old 33 down across from Upper Room Church in Elkton, lived right there in Salisbury. And I would take that thing at night and go up old 33. And that thing would be all over the road because that thing was so light and fast. If I'd have put that thing on the highway, I'd have probably killed myself in it. That's what happened to a friend of mine. I had a good friend. I don't know where I'm saying this, but I'm going to share with you anyway because it's something. He redid a 63 Corvette. His name was Steve Miller. And he refurbished this 63, got that thing perfect, and then ended up dying in it, you know, because it was more than he could handle. And sometimes in life, that's what happens. Things look so good. They look so pretty. And we feel like we got to have it, but at the end, it brings us death. You know, the Bible says, what has a man gained if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me say this to you. The things of this world are deceptive. I thought if I had the things of this world, I would be happy. And I had six different corporations. I had every toy you could imagine. I had a Corvette, I had a Porsche, and it's just all the same time. I had a couple Jaguars, and I had all these things, and all these bells and whistles, but I was never happy. And I always thought the next thing I got was what was going to make me happy. But on the October the 12th, 1997, in the bedroom of my house, the happiness came into my life because Jesus came in. Hallelujah! Jesus came in. And I found out that all those things I was looking for didn't even measure nothing to the joy I have in the Lord. Man, I get high. I'm high right now. Amen? I'm high right now. I'm high on Jesus Christ. Amen. He gives me a buzz, and the buzz keeps going and going and going and going. Amen. I shared before, it's like getting drunk and not having a hangover. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Joshua. I'm glad my buddy's here this morning. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let me get this. What's his desire? For all men to be saved. So in closing today, look with me in Revelation chapter 22. Say, Pastor, you said enough. You just got here. You get to hear for the most important part, the closing. Hallelujah. Turn me in Revelation chapter 22 and just to the end of the book. Verse number 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. In the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God is no respecter of person. The word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What was God saying to us today? He was talking to you and I about the voice of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. Trusting in anything else you will fall short. See, it wasn't my good deeds and my good actions. I was in the world and I was the cheapest of sinners. I gave. I was a giver. I gave to the poor. I clothed the naked. I did all those things. But I wasn't serving the Lord. I didn't have Jesus. I didn't have Him. I didn't have a revelation of who He was and who I could be through Him. Until that day, the Lord came into my heart and life and shined His light. Amen. And my life will never be the same, and neither is yours. See, He disclosed to us. He wants us to understand that, hey, we have an adversary. Whether you're serving Him or whether you're not, there is an adversary. God doesn't promise you and I a rose garden. But He promises us, I'll never walk through the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses or something like that. The voice I hear. Amen. Well, I don't want to sing it. I was just waiting for the words. He's talking about He walks with me and He talks with me. Amen. You know what the problem sometimes is? As we talk to everyone else but Him. We talk to everyone else but Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, we want to go to Gene Dixon. We want to go to the horoscope. We want to hear the things. We want somebody that lied to us to make us feel good. God would rather tell you the truth because He loves you. God would rather tell us the truth because He cares. He wants you to understand that He's exposed the adversary to you so that you know who He is. He wants you to understand that He is in the destruction, that the adversary is destroyed. He has no power over you as a child of God. He has no power over you. So it comes to this decision. You know that Joel 3:14 says this. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. Yeah. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And what is He saying to you and I? Hey, simply this. The choice is yours. He's offered it to you and I today. All of His fullness of His grace and mercies. Bow your head and let us pray.